Morning.
Morning.
If you are a Unitarian Universalist, you probably aren't normal. If you do consider yourself normal in every traditional sense, then every Sunday you probably get to sit beside someone who isn't or doesn't consider themselves to be what society deems. We use as a whole are not in general what society idealizes as the rule or the norm. But what is normal? That's a great question, and I'm going to be honest, I'm probably not the girl to ask. While I pass for what folks see as in small doses at work, even then, when people get to know me better, they start to describe me with words like, and that's at my best, to be honest. The best answer I ever heard to the question actually came from a DC Comics movie, Suicide Squad. Talking to a band of misfits and criminals, Harley Quinn quipped, normal is just sitting on the dryer. Yep, I'm kind of with her there. But the truth is, there is societal pressure to fit. To fit ideals in our workplace, our home, and yes, even our faith. There is pressure about how we express our gender identity, and even who we choose to speak. And those are norms that are passed to us by our parents, our grandparents. They're drilled into us in public schools. We talk about the military and churches. We are continually taught what is and how at very least to pass. Now, about 4 months ago, I didn't celebrate an anniversary. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a person who gets caught up in anniversaries, and my husband will tell you, he's still surprised that I can remember our wedding anniversary. It's been 21 years of living together, being recognized by the state. It only took me about 17 to start remembering when the date rolled around. So obviously I'm not overly romantic. But every year around my anniversary, I usually make a Facebook post or light a candle at church. I tell my girlfriends at work and we laugh about how hard relationships are. And how great and horrible marriage can be. And in my heart, on my anniversary, I always offer that certain one-finger salute that bet it wouldn't last 6 months. In December this year, we celebrated our first year of being poly. A year and some months ago, he met the woman that would become his girlfriend. A year and a few months ago, I met the man that would become my boyfriend. And for the past year, we have been practicing polyamory. Now, I'm going to tell you that I'm proud of our accomplishment. But I couldn't celebrate. Everything we have done, we've practiced communication, we have practiced and practiced. Of four people in what we call our poly, three of us are brand new to polyamory, and a lot of growing up to do. But again, I couldn't celebrate. Couldn't make a Facebook post. I really wasn't comfortable lighting a candle at church. Really, really can't tell my coworkers. Couldn't tell everyone that I met someone to become an integral part of my life. Certainly couldn't tell everyone that I was really happy that my husband's relationship with his girlfriend had lasted, and I was super happy about the happiness they bring each other. Lots of happy, just not a lot of good celebration this year. I like to say I don't tell anyone because I like and sleeping indoors. I am not particularly sure how my employer would react. And I'd like to say that I don't tell some people because I don't feel like defending how I love or how I practice loving. But the truth is, I don't tell people because there's another risk, and it scares me more. Dan Savage, who is a columnist and the author of Monogamish, has said, sometimes you open yourself up and tell someone something about yourself. And their reaction tells you everything you ever need. That reaction, that stigma, that possible loss of relationship, people that I love and value in other areas of my life, is one of my biggest fears. And it hasn't been an easy. It's not easy hiding a piece of your life that includes people. It's not easy not being able to tell friends about your dates or your home. It's not easy not being able to talk to girlfriends about your latest debate/disagreement about jealousy or scheduling who didn't communicate about what, on what day. I feel blessed when we go out, my husband's holding, my boyfriend's holding the other. Or I have one of his hands and there's the other. Or sometimes there's a long line. No matter how it's working out, I feel really blessed. I also feel downright afraid when I see the or I get furious, hillbilly furious, when the waitress suddenly grows cold because we separate the check and it isn't separated the way she assumed it. Sometimes people stare with curiosity and sometimes, well, it's pure hostility. And I'm a big girl. I knew when I chose polyamory I wasn't choosing something the rest of the world would approve of. And I knew I wouldn't be able to tell my parents and my workplace. I can't say I knew how hard that was. And I can choose not to hold hands. And if I tell the people at work that I have a hot date this weekend without going into details, they will assume it was with my husband. And sometimes it was. And sometimes it wasn't. But I can let them make the assumption that best suits their needs. And I can move on. But personally, every time I choose to do that and hide away, I feel a little twinge as if in that moment, I am trading my authenticity to meet other people's expectations. My child is non-binary and gender. The first girlfriend was a trans girl who presents as feminine but is built like a small linebacker. We went to Walmart in North Georgia, and when we got into the car, I said, that was the rudest Walmart I've ever been in. My kid asked me why, and I said, well, normally people are really friendly to me in public. We kept getting hateful looks from other customers. I would say good morning, no one replied. And I saw my kid and her girlfriend exchange a look. Mom, you were with us. People look at us this way. Just how it is. Needless to say, I replied with a good bit of profanity. We talked about politics and what it means to be genderqueer. We talked a lot about what it means to be different. We talked about my privilege. Because I pass as normal, for a given value of normal. We even managed to laugh a bit. I waited until I was home alone when my kid and her girlfriend couldn't see me, and then I cried. My kid is making a choice. My kid could grow their hair long, date a nice young football player, and embrace mascara. But my kid made a different choice, a harder one to be sure. They have chosen to be who they are. It's a harder choice in terms of society's expectations, but it may be the easier choice in terms of living, because I will guarantee you that if that child embraced society's expectations, it would kill a piece of her soul. That kid is one of my heroes. That kid is why I am slowly but surely coming out of my own polyamorous closet. That kid has been confronted by angry adults when they exited twice. Different jerks each time. That kid has been teased. They're afraid of becoming a victim of violence because they know persons are more likely to be victims. That kid has always, from age 2, followed every rule. Every rule. Kept every adult happy. They have been a model student, a model child. And a champion to other children for keeping, they have been a champion for keeping. But that kid knew they could make the rest of the world happy, or they could fight the world they live in and make themselves. And they made the choice to follow their own heart and soul. I think whoever you are, even if you're straight, cisgendered, monogamous, there is something to be learned about what it means to be authentic, to be brave, and to I don't think living intentionally, authentically, or bravely, or going against the grain is an easy thing at all. Humans are at heart herd animals. And for thousands of years, we were hunter-gatherers. That made it imperative that we follow the basic norms, because otherwise, we would lose the support of the clan. And then to lose the support of the clan was to die. So we wear what the other humans wear. We speak the way the other polite humans speak. We embrace that which is intentionally or unintentionally. There is a certain pressure we all feel you belong. But what if we didn't feel that pressure? Would the clothes in our closets look the same? Would our hair? Would the dreams we pursue be different if we weren't worried about what other people? What craziness might ensue? I know, and many of you know, a chaplain and a minister that left her job to go through hike the Appalachian Trail. I know a kindergarten teacher who lives with her motorcycle mechanic boyfriend and her other boyfriend. And she will tell you that she spent too many years hiding. I know an aging folk guitarist who still plays gigs in local clubs, even though he could be employed making a lot more money as a nurse. I know a woman that went back to law school in her 40s. And even though it felt silly to be the old lady in class, she said she told herself over and over, I'll be 50 one day, and I can be 50 with a law degree. We look at people who are living their lives in ways that go against society's grain. People that are living their dreams, and we think, wow, I'd really like to do that someday. And maybe someday I'll dye my hair purple or hike a trail. Maybe someday I'll take the time to learn guitar. Maybe someday I'll tell people what I really think. And I will stop censoring myself for someone else's comfort. Well, y'all, there are 7 days in a week, and someday ain't one of them. I told you that I am polyamorous today because I want to live an authentic life. And frankly, because I don't want my kids to be. Because make no mistake, being yourself, your authentic self, takes bravery. But I still believe that life is made more worth living when we are able to live the life rather than living the life we've lived. Life is richer and more meaningful. I also think we owe it to one another, community, to encourage each other's journey towards authenticity. If your 70-year-old neighbor decides to skydive for her birthday, and yes, I know this lady, and she totally did, don't be the person that shakes their head in disapproval. Don't be the one that gives her the. You don't have to jump out of the stream with her. I wouldn't. But you can look at her and go, wow, that's really awesome. You can be the one to support her journey and not just. We are herd animals. And even though we are no longer hunters, but we are somewhat unique among herd animals because we are capable of thinking beyond groupthink, of dreaming beyond our, of daring to do. And even though we are herd animals, we are kings without the approval of our community. But it is a gift from community able to have the support and love of the community and the chance to live out our lives in unexpected ways. As Unitarian Universalists, we celebrate our differences. And we are uniquely suited as a community to offer our support to those in our community who are the unexpected, who choose the unexpected, who dream. I challenge you today to find the places in your life that feel less. I challenge you to break free of your fears, your doubts, and yes, your excuses. I challenge you to stand on the side of love for yourself and your neighbor. Understanding the world as your neighbor. I challenge you to stand on the side of those who move to their own song, even when you don't understand.